hiccups along the way, right? Like when Achan took or stole what was to be set apart for the Lord, his sin affected the entire nation. The whole nation was affected by his sin. Remember that message we said our sin not only affects us, but it affects everyone around us. They were unable to move forward as a nation. However, the sin was dealt with, and they were able to conquer the city of Ai. Next, the Gibeonites rolled into town, and they told the Israelites that they lived far, far away in another galaxy, a long way away. Joshua didn't consult the Lord. He didn't go to the Lord first. We talked about that message, how a lot of times we run to the news, we run to social media, we run to our family, we run to our friends. But the first place we need to run to when there's stress in our life is to the Lord. But we need to consult the Lord first. Joshua didn't do this. Instead, he made a treaty with them, a peace treaty. What was the consequence? The Israelites were drawn into battle. They were sucked into battle. Nevertheless, God gave them victory over their enemies. God is so good. It's so gracious. Even when we mess up, even when we do dumb things, he gives us victory. And that's exactly what he did. Now, today, we fast forward to the end of the book, to the end of Joshua's life. What must the people do if they wanted to continue to have victory? What must they do if they wanted to continue to have success in their lives? Well, once again, it's the same things you and me need to do in our lives. What's the first thing? First, they needed to present themselves to the Lord. They needed to present themselves to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Do with me as you see fit. My life is not my own. I was bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's jump right into Scripture here. Back in Joshua chapter 24 here at the very end, verse 1. Then Joshua summoned all the tribes of Israel to where? Shechem. We're going to talk about why that's important here in a minute. Including their elders, leaders, judges, and officers. So they came and what? They presented themselves. Here we are, Lord, to God. So what was Joshua doing here when he was calling all the people together? He was calling them to a covenant renewal with the Lord. He's like, hey, let's get together here. And we're going to make a covenant. We're going to renew this covenant in our commitment and our dedication to the Lord. Why was he doing it here at Shechem? That's interesting. Why was he doing it here? Well, for three reasons. First, this is where the Lord first appeared to Abraham, right? This is where it all started with Abraham, right? Where God appeared to them, Abraham, their ancestor. Let's look at this passage back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan, headed for the promised land. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as what? Lord appeared, then the Lord at Shechem appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who appeared to him. Right? So this is where it all started. What was he doing at Shechem? Or why was he doing it at Shechem? The second reason, Jacob buried his idols at Shechem after returning to the promised land. Let's look here in Genesis 35 as we move through Genesis and see why this was important. Then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of your what? Pagan idols. Get rid of this stuff, this junk that is in your life that's not good for you. You know, the Lord says the same thing to you and me today. Right? Purify yourselves and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel where I will build an altar to God, to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near what? Near Shechem. What's the third reason Joshua was doing this at Shechem? Why was he doing it at Shechem? Third, it was at Shechem that Joshua led the people to recommit themselves to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I need to recommit myself to the Lord. I haven't been living for the Lord, right? And so Joshua was having this covenant renewal with them. Chapter 8, verse 30 here in Joshua. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. And as the Israelites washed, Joshua copied onto the stones of the altar the instructions Moses had given them. Joshua then read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the what? The book of instruction, God's word. Every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Right? He read God's word to them. Right now you may be saying, well, Ed, what does all this have to do with me? When's the last time you presented yourself to the Lord? You humbly entered into his presence, like this lady in this opening video. She said, you know what? It's time I get serious about the Lord. Right? It's time I stop going through the motions. And I say, here I am, Lord. I'm going to cease striving. I want your will to be done in my life, not my will. When's the last time you presented yourself to the Lord and said, do with me as you see fit? What happened in these three instances when each of them presented themselves to the Lord? What happened when Abram presented himself to the Lord? The Lord told him to get up and go to the land I will show you. Maybe the Lord wants to take you someplace else. In your walk, in your relationship, in your job, in your career, in your family, maybe he wants to take you someplace else. Are you open to where he wants to take you? What happened when Jacob presented himself to the Lord? He buried the garbage that was in his life. Maybe you need to get rid of the trash that is in your life. The things that have accumulated that aren't healthy for you, that aren't good for you, that are taking your mind and your heart away from the Lord. You need to get rid of that stuff and that junk. Bury it. I'm done with this. committed themselves to the Lord. They received instruction from the Lord. Maybe you need instruction today from the Lord. You need to hear from the Lord today about what to do or where to go next. You have a decision on your plate, a decision to make about what to do and where to go. If so, then you need to read God's book of instruction, right? So that you have the instruction you need to get where He wants you to go. Well, what must the people do if they wanted to continue to have victory? First, present themselves to the Lord. Second, they needed to remember what God did for them in the past. They need to remember what God did for them in the past. Joshua 24, verse 2. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshiped other gods. But I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Canaan. I led him to the promised land. I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir, while Jacob and his children went down into Egypt." I want you to think for a second about the church you used to attend. Picture that in your mind. I want you to think for a moment about the church you used to go to. You may have worshipped God, but you didn't know Him. Now, this may not be all of you, but maybe a good portion of you. You may have worshipped God, but you didn't know Him. At best, you knew about Him. Yes, there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, but that's as far as it went. You didn't have a true understanding of who He is and what He wants from you. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Ed, I still don't know what He wants from me." He wants your heart. He is madly, passionately in love with you. He's pursuing you every day. He wants you. You may say, "Well, how do I know that? How do I know that?" Because He sent people into your life to tell you about Him and invite you to church. Joshua 24, 5. "Then I sent who into these people's lives? I sent who into my people's lives? I sent Moses and Aaron, and I brought terrible plagues on Egypt. And afterward, I brought you out as a free people. I freed you. I set you free." Before you came to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you were dead. You were dead. Who says? The Apostle Paul. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Once, Paul says, you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Yes, Lord, that was me. You used to live in sin. Yeah, I did. Just like the rest of the world, just like everyone else out there today. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us here used to live that way. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Yep, that's what we did. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. The good news is, if you're in Jesus, then He has born with it. He gave us a new nature. Now we're being renewed in the image of our Creator. Your dark past is behind you. So leave it there. Leave it there. Why? Because a bright future is in front of you. Listen to Scripture here. As Joshua recounts their past and where they're going in their future. Verse 6 and 24. But when your ancestors arrived at the Red Sea, the Egyptians chased after you with chariots and charioteers. When your ancestors cried out to the Lord, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians. I brought the sea crashing down on the Egyptians, drowning them. With your very own eyes, you saw what I did. You saw what I did to them. Then you lived in the wilderness for many years. What must the people do if they wanted to continue to have victory? Present themselves to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Remember what God did for them in the past. And third, they needed to remember God is the one who gives them victory. You and me need to remember that. It's God. God is the one who gives us victory in our life. Right? Joshua 24, verse 8. Finally, I brought you into the land of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I destroyed them before you. I gave you victory over them, and you took possession of their land. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, started a war against Israel. He summoned Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to him. Instead, I made Balaam bless you, so I rescued you from Balak. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho, they fought against you, as did the Amorites, Pezerites, Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gershites, the Hivitites, and the Jebusites. All these people were fighting against you, but I gave you victory over them. And I sent terror ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords or bows that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked on, and I gave you towns you did not build. The towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Because the Lord brought you here today. You may feel like everyone and everything is against you. And it often is out there. Right? It often is out there. But God is for you. God is for you. God knew you in advance. God chose you to become like His Son. God called you to come to Him. God gave you right standing with Himself. He gave you His glory. Oh, I love these verses in Romans. You know them. Romans 8. That's a great chapter. Romans 8, verse 31. Paul says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself gave us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised Let that sink into your mind and into your heart. That God is for you? It was because of all these things that Joshua issued one final ultimatum here to the people as we close out this series and this book. What was it? To fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Let me say that again. His final command to the people was to fear the Lord and serve Him with all of their hearts. Joshua 24, verse 14. So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River? Would you prefer their gods? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? This last part's kind of the slogan that we often see on plaques on a wall. But as for me and my family, we're going to what? We're going to serve the Lord. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put Him first. Is that your slogan? Is that how you live your life? Is that your belief that me and my family, we're going to put Him ahead of everything else? You know, I believe the same ultimatum has been issued to us today. The same ultimatum has been issued to us today. And the question is, how will we respond? How will you and me respond? Will we serve the Lord? Right? Will we fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly and put away the idols, put away the stuff that we've allowed to creep into our lives and take our minds and our hearts away from what's really important, what really matters? Are we going to do that? This is a question only you can answer. How did the people answer Joshua that day? What did they have to say? Let's read on here, verse 16. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord. We would never do that and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. We remember what He did. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes as we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies. He preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. So we too will serve the Lord, for He alone is God. He's God, not us. I read this and I think to myself, well, amen. Let it be. Praise the Lord. However, did Joshua really believe they were able to do this? He knew the people. He knew what they were really like. Did he believe they would do this? About to wrap up here, verse 19. Then Joshua warned the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. I've been around you long enough. You're not able to do it. He's a holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. He won't forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, He will turn against you and destroy you, and even though He has been so good to you. Why did He say this? Why did He say God wouldn't forgive them? Is God not able to forgive them? Of course He's able to forgive them. He simply meant God was not to be taken lightly. God was not to be taken lightly. If they continued to worship idols, if they continued to live for this world, you and me continue to worship the things of this world. That's what he was telling them. We're not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord, because I need it. Does this mean we can do whatever we want, whenever we want? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. Can we do whatever we want, whenever we want? No. It simply means we have a new master. Romans 6:16. Paul says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin. You can live like everybody else out there today. You can live for the here and now. You can make that choice, you and your family. You can choose to do that. But what? Which leads to death. You want to live that way? Go ahead. Here's where it leads. It leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. What did the people who were listening to Joshua choose that day? What did they choose? They chose the Lord. We see that quickly fall apart in the next book, the book of Judges. We're not going to cover the book of Judges at this time, but if you've never read the book of Judges, it's a great book filled with some great stories. I want to encourage you to go home today. Start reading the book of Judges. Pick up where we leave off today. Closing verse, this is it right here, verse 21, chapter 24, verse 21. But the people answered Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. You are a witness to your own decision, Joshua said. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, they replied, we are witnesses to what we have said. Yes. All right, then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you. Get rid of the stuff. Get rid of the garbage that's in your life that shouldn't be there. And turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. We're going to trust his promises. We're going to obey him. We're going to read his word. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day at where? At Shechem. Committing them to following the decrees and regulations of the Lord. How committed are you to following the decrees and regulations of the Lord? How committed are you? As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to trust God's promises. We're going to obey God. Our family, my family, we're going to read the Word of God continually. And we're going to realize that God's presence makes all the difference. And with God's help, we're going to cease striving after the junk and stuff of this world that we think we need, which only leaves us empty and unfulfilled.